Jayam Vishnu Pad Param Hamsa Pri Vyajakacharya Astotar Satasri Srimad Divine Grace Vesri Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Pad Param Hamsa Pri Vyajakacharya Astotar Satasri Srimad Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Bhuti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Tantrar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled bodies, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled bodies, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled bodies, Hare Krishna. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Shri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Nusana Bhakti Tira Swami Nityananda. Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Sattapandi Sri Guru Karam Sattva Bhakti Nityananda. Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jaya Nodirayat Nashta Prayusu Abhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So this morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3 and Chapter 32. Chapter 32 is entitled Engagement in Fruitive Activities. And we'll start with text 5. We may possibly go to text 6, but we start with text 5. So the Sanskrit is Ye swadhama nadhuyanti dhira karma tahetabe nisanga nyasta karmana prasanta sudachetasa. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are intelligent and of purified consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Freed from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, they are situated in their own occupational duties. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This first-class example of this type of man is Arjuna. The first-class example of this type of man is Arjuna. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and his occupational duty was to fight. Generally, kings fight to extend their kingdoms, which they rule for sense gratification. But as far as Arjuna is concerned, he declined to fight for his own sense gratification. He said that although he could get a kingdom by fighting with his relatives, he did not want to fight with them. But when he was ordered by Krishna and convinced by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita that his duty was to satisfy Krishna, then he fought. Thus, he fought not for his sense gratification, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who work at their prescribed duties, not for sense gratification, but for gratification of the Supreme Lord, are called Nisanga, freed from the influence of the modes of material nature. Nyasta Karmana indicates that the results of their activities are given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such persons appear to be acting on the platform of their respective duties, but such activities are not performed for personal sense gratification. Rather, they are performed for the Supreme Person. Such devotees are called prashanta, which means completely satisfied. Sudha chetasa means Krishna conscious. Their consciousness has become purified. In unpurified consciousness, one thinks of himself as the Lord of the universe. But in purified consciousness, one thinks himself the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Putting oneself in that position of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord and working for him perpetually, one actually becomes completely satisfied. As long as one works for his personal sense gratification, he will always be full of anxiety. That is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sta Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vichakam Vitam Sta E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sunibhe Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyaji Sacharine Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Se Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Vimavya Divacha Vishundraya Tasmi Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So, the text again, this is Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32-5. Yeswa dhamana duyanti dhira karmata hetave disanga nyasta karmana prasanta sudachetasa. Translation: those who are intelligent and are of purified consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Freed from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act. Hare Krishna. So, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking, and he's making a distinction between those who are steeped in the modes of material nature, we call them karmis, or non-devotees, and those who act to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Those are the devotees. So, Krishna calls those who are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness intelligent people and people of purified consciousness. So in the material world, the distinction is being made here between purified consciousness and consciousness that's not purified. Consciousness that's not purified is the type that thinks that pleasure will come from sense gratification. Pleasure will come from sense gratification. And when they are satisfying their senses in that act, they say they are enjoying themselves. But I remember one lecture given by His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj, and he came out clearly to declare that people don't know what enjoyment is. In other words, people don't understand enjoyment that comes from the soul, the satisfaction and the excitement that the soul can give. His Holiness Chandramali Swami has also categorized different categories of enjoyment. Part of it is so-called enjoyment. He said the lowest type of enjoyment is physical enjoyment. Physical enjoyment. And then up goes mental enjoyment. Higher than that is mental enjoyment. Enjoyment from the mind, or satisfaction that the mind claims to have when they connect with something material. Higher than that is that from the intelligence, because we say the mind is purified by the intelligence. But the highest, the topmost, is enjoyment of the soul. And that's real enjoyment. Enjoyment for us comes when Krishna reveals himself. And how does he reveal himself? So he says in Bhagavad Gita that when we surrender, then the extent to which we surrender to him, he also rewards accordingly. So if we really want to be very happy, then we should strive to be most surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do we surrender? We obey his instructions, which are given through the agency of Guru, because Krishna has established Guruship. So when we do what Guru says to do, and when we associate with devotees who are doing what they're supposed to do also spiritually, then we become happy. We learn from devotees who are more advanced than we are. In that way, we improve. And if we improve, that means that we're performing devotional service with better consciousness. This is Krishna calls purified consciousness. So purification is important. Srila Prabhupada has also mentioned that we should constantly keep chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should also constantly hear topics about Krishna. In that way, we connect with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says, when we constantly connect with Krishna by constantly chanting throughout the day, then Krishna will purify us. So the benefit of repeatedly chanting Krishna consciousness mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, throughout the day is we are connected with Krishna throughout the day. Krishna, the word Krishna is Krishna. Krishna is absolute. Srila Prabhupada made a distinction between material consciousness and Krishna consciousness, putting Krishna in the absolute platform, because that's where he belongs. It's an absolute platform. He made an example, he gave an example in one of his lectures, that you can chant mango. You want a mango. You can chant mango, 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 mango. Mango will never come. But if you chant Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, you get Krishna. Because a mango is not on the absolute platform. So you cannot get a mango by chanting. You have to go to the store and buy it, or pluck it off a mango tree or something. You have to actually make that effort to get a mango. But when you chant Krishna's name, you have Krishna. Just by his name. Everything about Krishna is Krishna. Krishna is an absolute platform. So when we connect with Krishna by his name, through his holy name, Lord Chaitanya has also said one thing that's very important, that Krishna has invested all his transcendental energies in his holy name. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we get Krishna and all his transcendental energies, all of it. So when we endeavor to connect with Krishna by chanting more attentively, the more attentive we chant, the greater the connection. And then Krishna reveals himself accordingly, as he said he would do. So, those who are intelligent, they are of purified consciousness, and they are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. That also means they are freed from goodness, passion, and ignorance, especially passion and ignorance. In the material world, because of the nature of materialism, sometimes we have to act in the modes of goodness. Modes of goodness is not bad for material life. In fact, religionists only come to the mode of goodness. The highest that they ever get to is the mode of goodness. But we are fortunate enough by the mercy of the Parampara that we have a means of getting to the mode of transcendence. 9 different ways: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering obeisances. So many ways, 9 of them, by which we can in fact connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in transcendence. The religionists also mention God, but they want things from the Lord. They ask for things from the Lord. Whereas we only ask to serve Him. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna also says that the intelligent people do not ask for sense gratification. So, they are situated in their occupational duties. They work, but they act as one is expected to act, which means they do their work properly. You take an example of Arjuna. He was an excellent kshatriya. He did his work properly. He learned his mantras. He practiced even at night, to the surprise of Dronacharya, who was a teacher. He took his work seriously. He didn't play with it. So he acted in his occupational duties properly. But later on, as Krishna explained to him, his duty was supposed to be for satisfying Krishna. Therefore, our work should also be for satisfying Krishna. Meaning that even if we do work that is seemingly 100% material, Krishna owns material and spiritual, by the way. So everything is for Krishna. So, even if it seems that way, when we dedicate our work to Krishna by simple short prayer before we start working, we say the mantras if you're initiated to your spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada. If you're not initiated, say the mantra of Srila Prabhupada. Then Panchatarvama mantra, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Then the Hare Krishna mantra. Then after that, you just simply say a short prayer. Dear Gurudev, dear Sri Krishna, dear Radha, I dedicate today's work to you. Just like that. Or something to that effect. So you start work with Krishna in mind. It may be material work, yes. Not everybody is, you know, working full time for the temple. Most of us are outside the temple, especially grihasthas. But that kind of consciousness means you're telling Krishna to take charge of everything you do in your work that day. On top of that, when the time comes and the paycheck is given, then you take a part of it and also donate it for work or activities involving Krishna consciousness. Either at home, either in the temple, especially the temple, to keep the temple going. The temple property and the expenses on it going. So that way, you in fact dovetail the work because of the money that comes from working. You dovetail it in Krishna consciousness. Then the work itself gets purified. So when one is in Krishna consciousness, you have to start everything with Krishna in mind. So even before we start working the regular job, we still pray to Krishna to take over everything that happens on the job. There are situations where you will find out that many, sometimes a few, but sometimes a lot. It depends on what happens that day. That you will be able to work better than you even thought you could do. Certain situations will come. Krishna will help you to figure it out a lot better than you yourself could have figured out, you know, with your own material mind. So there is, in fact, reward that's given when we dedicate our consciousness and everything we do to Krishna. Even now, as we're doing material work, even now, as we're in the material world, it still works. It's just a question of trying it. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the first class example of this type of man, the intelligent man with purified consciousness, is Arjuna. His occupational duty was to fight. Generally, kings fight to extend their kingdoms. They come, and sometimes it's horse sacrifice, sometimes it's actual fighting. The horse sacrifice, the king has a horse, go to different places, and they basically tell the king or the ruler of that place to be subordinate to that particular king. And if they say yes, then no, there's no fight. You become the king that has the horse, extends the kingdom that way. And if that particular king says no to being subordinate, then there is actual fight. There's war. And whoever wins is usually the one that is gets control. So generally, kings fight to extend the kingdom, which is for sense gratification. But in Arjuna's case, he wasn't going to fight for his own sense gratification. He wasn't going to. When he first thought that he was going to fight for his sense gratification, it seemed that way, because after all, there was the kingdom, there was the capital in Hastinapur, so there were physical things that he could gain. So he said, I don't want that. But when Krishna ordered him and convinced him through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and allowed him to ask questions, and proved to him that he was a Supreme Personality of Godhead by showing his Virat Rupa, there was nothing then that Arjuna could not be convinced by. So then he fought for the satisfaction of a Supreme Personality of Godhead and not for his own satisfaction. So that is a way, in a way, telling us that we also should do everything we do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in mind. And for us, the first order of duty is to serve the devotees. Serve the devotees, serve Guru, serve the deities. This is the way we have to do everything in Krishna consciousness. So, Srila Prabhupada is also saying in the purport, if we work at our prescribed duties not for sense gratification but to gratify the Supreme Lord, then we will be called Nishanga, those who are freed from the modes of material nature. Krishna is above the modes of material nature. Therefore, connecting with Krishna in service means we're doing service above the modes, or freed from the influence of material nature. So everything we do should be given, the results of it should be given to Sri Krishna. We do need to keep our person, of course, the body is also has to be taken care of, but that has to be taken care of to the proper point and no more than that. And the rest has to be given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the way it should be. For grihasthas, obviously our children also have to be taught Krishna consciousness and made, considered like play, and they like exciting things. So we should bring excitement into Krishna consciousness so that they actually like it. They like to associate, and therefore we should make sure that their friends are friends who are devotees. Sometimes they go to school, and in the school, since we don't have our own schools yet, not to that extent, there's only a few schools around the world for ISKCON, they are mostly going into schools that non-devotee children go to. So they are kind of made to hang around the way the things are in the school with non-devotee children. But their closest friends, make sure that they are devotees, or children of devotees, who are also taking the process seriously. So that we can influence. Parents can do that by telling their children or arranging for activities, fun activities to be done by their children, but with other children who are children of devotees. That way they hang around more with them. Ask about the other children when you're talking, but those children who are devotees. So in a way, you're always talking more about children who are connected with Krishna consciousness to their parents. And that way your own child is thinking about Krishna consciousness because they're thinking about it. These, their friends who are in fact in a Krishna conscious household. And that's how parents can keep their children in Krishna consciousness. Of course, going to the temple, it goes without saying, activities, they need to be part of it, they need to be serving, not just going there, you know, they need to join in some activity. The more activities that children join in fact, for everybody, the more activities we're involved in, the more excited we become about Krishna consciousness. Mother Kalini, I remember, mentioned that, because we were kind of surprised in Giranagiri how prompt he was at everything. Everything she did. And then she replied simply, if you know that you have something to do, you get up. Because that thing has to get done. It has to get done at a certain time. So that's motivation to get up. You never become lazy when you have quite a bit to do. So then we should be involved. We should be involved in Krishna conscious activities. One way or the other, there's always a lot to do. Krishna consciousness and ISKCON, not only ISKCON, but even Goyamath, everything is set up in such a way that there's always something to do. Lord Chaitanya came to this world and said that Krishna consciousness should be spread in every town and village. But he himself, even though he's God and owns everything, never spread Krishna consciousness in every town and village on this planet. He spread Krishna consciousness in India. And then Srila Prabhupada came and he spread Krishna consciousness the whole world over. But even he said before he left that only half of his work had been done. He was talking about Banashram Dham, how that could be instituted on the planet. So there's always a lot to do. Always a lot to do. Anyway, we'll come back to that a little later. So back to the purport. In unpurified consciousness, Srila Prabhupada says, one thinks of himself as the Lord of the universe. But in purified consciousness, one thinks himself or herself the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Gopi Vatu Parakamalaya Das Das Anudas. Not just the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada says, 1,000 times servant. The further we are down in serving those who are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the better off we are. Because the more humble we become. So, Srila Prabhupada then, putting oneself in that position of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord, and working for him perpetually, one actually becomes completely satisfied. So here is the secret. People are not getting satisfaction. But Srila Prabhupada says, when we put ourselves in a position of serving the Supreme Lord the whole time and working for him perpetually, then we become completely satisfied. Why? Because that's the nature of a soul. The soul is a servant of the servant of a servant of a Lord. That is the soul's constitutional work position. Therefore, when we do that, even with our physical body, then the soul becomes completely satisfied and happy. And happiness from the soul, as we said earlier, is the highest happiness there is. So then, that would be gone. These problems of material world won't be so important at all, and the person will be completely satisfied. Srila Prabhupada says, as long as one works for his personal sense gratification, he will always be full of anxiety. If it's just personal sense gratification, then anxiety always comes. Because anxiety is connected with material things. So that's the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. So there were two main Kshatriyas in the Battle of Kurukshetra: Arjun on the one hand and Duryodhan on the other hand. Clearly, as Krishna convinced Arjun to fight for Krishna's program, Arjun fought only to satisfy Krishna's senses, but Duryodhan was fighting for his own sense gratification. And he did material calculations the whole way through. And Krishna allowed him. He had a bigger army than Arjun and the Pandavas did. And he had some of the best Kshatriyas you could ever have as generals, with the wounds and with the situation where ordinarily by material calculations the Kauravas, Duryodhan, should have won. By material calculations, they got a bigger army, so they got more people fighting. They got people like Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma couldn't even be killed. He was on the side of Duryodhan. And the one who taught all of them anything about Kshatriya, the military arts, Dronacharya, he was also on the side of Duryodhan. So by material calculations, it was not surprising that Duryodhan thought he could win. And Karna was just as good in fighting as Arjuna was. And that was also, he was also on the side of Duryodhan. But what happened? When you fight to satisfy your own senses, you lose. When you fight to or do work to satisfy Krishna's senses, it doesn't matter how, by material calculations, how overwhelmed you are, you will still win. And that's the way it is. So, we must always agitate our minds about how to serve Krishna and his devotees in different ways. Srila Prabhupada calls this first class devotee. He defined first class devotee as one chants the minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Minimum 16 rounds every day. First class devotee. Second point, he obeys all four regulative principles. And third point, he is always agitating his mind about how to serve the Krishna movement. These three things, a devotee doing that, Srila Prabhupada calls that devotee a first class devotee. So, I am not a first class devotee, but I'm going to put something out, because I have in a few places when we've gone to preach. We said earlier that there are a number of things that is always there to do. Srila Prabhupada even said that he had only finished half his work. And we know in this movement there are quite a number of things that are needed. Our children are still going, most of them, the overwhelming majority of them are going to non-devotee schools. Because we don't have schools. Only a few around the world. Also, there are situations that devotees who are senior, who have been around, senior in terms of age, later on in their lives, some of them have difficulty in getting proper accommodation and even association. So there's a need for schools, there's a need for senior devotee centers where they can live together, and they can, you know, nice apartments, they can live together, they can associate together. And also, sometimes you hear sadly that maybe a Papa disciple got old and they're leaving the body, and there is no Lakshmi, no money to have a nice send off to, you know, cremation, and all of that costs money, and then somebody tries to raise money. So that's one situation. And even before the person leaves, usually in this world now, there's a place called a hospice that a dying person should be taken to. We don't have that in ISKCON either. So we don't have schools adequate enough for our children. We don't have senior devotee centers that they could associate, devotees could associate when they get older, and, you know, slow down and retired and so on. They could do that and be together. And there are no hospices for devotees to be taken to. So, the reason I'm bringing all of that up is we've come up with a plan called the Krishna Project. Krishna Project 108. That's the name that came to me. So I put this name on there. Krishna Project 108. And so there is, in fact, an email for that. That's exactly what it is. KrishnaProject108@gmail.com. If you're interested in being part of it, please email and it will come to me. You can spell Krishna any way you want. You can spell Krishna without the H and all of the I, or you can put it in. I've got both emails. Krishna, KrishHNA, and Krishna, KrsNA. Both of them. KrishnaProject108@gmail.com. It's about that. The reason 108 is there is, by the Lord's mercy, we're hoping to have 108 schools, K through 12 schools around the world, 108 senior devotee centers, and 54, half of that, hospices. Now, that's the aim, and now I'm putting it out. So whoever wants to be part of it, you can just email KrishnaProject108@gmail.com. Okay, so let's continue. Purified consciousness comes from thinking about Krishna all day in devotional service. Bottom line. Now, with your permission, I would like to go to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 32, text 6. So the Sanskrit is Nivriti Dharma Nirata Nirmama Nirahankrita Swadharma Aptena Satmena Parisudena Chetasa. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness. And by thus executing so-called material duties, he can easily enter into the kingdom of God. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Here, the word Nivriti Dharma Nirata means constantly engaging in executing religious activities for detachment. There are two kinds of religious performances. One is called the Pravritti Dharma, which means the religious activities performed by the Grihamedis for elevation to higher planets or for economic prosperity, the final aim of which is sense gratification. Every one of us who has come to this material world has the sense of overlordship, lording it over. This is called Pravritti. But the opposite type of religious performance, which is called Nivritti, is to act for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, one has no proprietorship claim, nor is one situated in the false egoism of thinking that he is God or the master. He always thinks himself the servant. That is the process of purifying consciousness. With pure consciousness only can one enter into the kingdom of God. Materialistic persons in their elevated condition can enter any one of the planets within this material world, but all are subjected to disillusion over and over again. Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32:6, the translation is, by executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment, and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness. And by thus executing the so-called material duties, he can enter the kingdom of God. So here Krishna is saying, in our duties, our jobs, or household, whatever we do, when we do it with detachment and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, in other words, we are using what we are using, We are grateful that Krishna has put those things that we're using at our disposal to use it. So we are thankful to Krishna that we have those things. We're not saying that we are the ones that made those things available for us. That's called doing things without a sense of proprietorship. And when we say we own, then of course that's our false ego, because we don't own anything. We were born to this world, into this world as babies. We didn't have anything, and when we die, we can't take anything with us. So while we're here, how do we claim that we own anything? We didn't come with anything, we can't leave with anything, so obviously we just came into a situation that was there and is temporary. Temporary because we have one lifetime, in this lifetime. After that, those things are taken away. It doesn't matter whether you're poor or whether you're rich, everything you have will be taken away. So then we don't own anything, and therefore there's no reason to be ego. There's no ego here to play in here when things can be taken away from you and me. So with that understanding, when we're working with detachment, we only work for the Lord. Then we are in our constitutional position, because our consciousness is purified, because now we understand we don't own anything. Things that are with us are given to us for only that period of time, which we call a lifetime. And how we use it is noted by the Paramatma. How we use it. If we use it more in Krishna consciousness, then we're getting spiritual credits. That's noted by the Paramatma. Because Paramatma keeps record of a devotee's activities. Non-devotee's activities are kept, records of it are kept by Yamaraj. But devotee's activities are kept by the Paramatma. So, Sri Krishna also says, by executing this, duties, even though material duties on the face of it, but without a sense of proprietorship, doing it for Sri Krishna, one can easily enter the kingdom of God. This is what Krishna says. So, Srila Prabhupada made a distinction, two kinds of religious performance, one for sense gratification, those are done by Grihamedis, and Grihasthas are supposed to, and of course the other ashrams too, Brahmachari, Sannyas, all of them have to, work without thinking that they are lording it over, that they are the controllers, but they're working to serve the devotees and to serve Guru and to serve Krishna. So no proprietorship. It's extremely important. Now, we said one should not have a sense of lording it over, but sometimes there are activities that are assigned to devotees, and they are leadership activities. So how does a leader not feel that they have control, or not fall into the trap of lording it over? My Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Kedar Maharaj, coined a word that would help leaders. He said, devotee leaders should see themselves as servant leaders. So he put the word servant before leaders. So yes, there's responsibility of delegating, but the leader should see themselves, every leader, as a servant, servant of the devotees. So rather than control, they should work to facilitate and coordinate the activities. You call yourself controllers, we're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. No, you work with devotees by meeting the devotee and saying there is this type of service, and basically discussing with the devotee that they also feel that they are part of the decision making in doing that service. There may be a few things that's typical, or not typical, special about that particular devotee that the leader may not know. But in discussing the type of service that's to be done, that devotee may bring it up and say, such and such and such and such is true about me or my body, and therefore I can do it this way. And in that way, when the leader is sensitive to what the devotee's body is like and what they can do and what they cannot do, and adjust the service accordingly, then the devotee is happy to perform the service because he knows that the leader is caring. So then the leader facilitated the idea of a service rather than impose on him. There are many times in different temples where a leader, given the responsibility of delegating services, just simply makes a chart without consulting the devotees. They just make a chart, and it's there, and you do this, this time you do this, this time you do this, this time. And 9 times out of 10, there are some devotees who don't quite like the service or the time that they've been given to do the service, but they don't say anything about it. So then there is a little bit of disturbance, which then makes the service now service in the modes. In other words, modes of passion and modes of ignorance. And it's just simply from the leaders. If the leader had talked to the devotee first and found out some things, you know, I'd like to put you at 2 o'clock to do this particular service. Is that okay with you? Is there something that I need to know about it? The devotee may say, all right, no, it's fine. I can do it that time. Or because I have to do such and such and such, or because my body does this to me at this time, therefore it's not a good time, therefore if you could change it and put me in another place, I would prefer that. And of course, you know, if the person is sensitive to it, is scheduled that way, then everything works nicely and you have hardly any complaints. So this is, the whole leadership is about facilitating, not controlling, not putting things in on people that just do it and just, that's it, do it. You know, you're here, so you do it. that's control, and that doesn't work very well. And I've seen both when we were in Girinagri. I've seen people who have in fact dumped services on people, and then the devotees start complaining. They won't complain to the leader, but they will complain to other devotees. And I heard a lot, you know, people who actually were quite close to me complaining about their services. And these were temple devotees, full-time temple devotees, still complaining because of something about the service itself, or maybe the timing of it and so on. So leadership traits, there are 10 of them. We'll go through those and then we'll end. Leaders are those who love people, and they are also sensitive to the emotions and needs. So that's some of the things that we've been talking about here. Sensitive to the emotions and needs. So in delegating service, the needs of the devotees will come first, and the leader is supposed to ask questions to hear about it and to see their emotional state, and then do it. Some people may feel, well, if you talk to devotees that way, then everybody may stay away from a particular type of time or particular time or particular service. Because, well, you know, I'm like this and my needs are like this, therefore I can't do this service at 3:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't do that. I can tell all of you, I have never seen that happen ever. When we talk with devotees about their services, all the services get covered. There has not been one time that there is nobody to do a particular service because the person that is delegating the services discussed the service times with devotees. It's never happened. My own wife did it. Anusuya was doing pujari services, and all of the services got covered. And she talked to every single one of the pujaris before the services were covered. And every time, they were all covered. If you talk to them, they give your hearts. You know, they give out their hearts. This is the thing that we're doing, not for pay. We're doing it out of our hearts for serving the Lord. And devotees are always take all the services. Anyway, point number 2, leaders help people to feel happy and secure. That should be the aim. When devotees are not happy, the leader should not be happy. They should feel the happiness or the distress of the ones that they're working with. They should help people to feel happy and secure. Now, leaders also create lasting value at all times. In other words, there's something about the project that the leader should come up with that devotees will always remember. This leader put this here. And therefore, it could even be anything. But because they sought to do it and did it, every time devotees see it, they realize, yes, this particular leader was the one that, you know, pushed for this particular service or this particular construction to be done. Leaders, number four, leaders are philosophers. And that doesn't mean that big time university type philosophy, though. The idea is they seek to convey the abiding truth. They seek to convey the truth, which is Krishna consciousness. When we talk about Krishna consciousness in detail, you are already a philosopher. The other material philosophers are just mental speculation. They don't know what the truth is. Number five, they understand that character is power. So they lead by showing their own character as good character. Then everybody can follow it. When the devotees realize that the leader is well trained and is good, has good character, that brings a sense of satisfaction to the whole project. Number six, leaders are principle centered. What needs to get done is what needs to get done. The principle, the way in which we have been taught to serve the deities, the timing for when Mangala Arati and the rest of them are, it has to get done at that time. So they are principle centered. Number seven, they are powerful visionaries. They are looking to what's going to happen in the future, and they pray for it, and they put out requests for different projects to move the movement forward. Eight, they keep everyone engaged according to their propensities. This is quite important. When someone is has studied something material and they've gotten good at it, it is important for the leader to make sure that the services that that person does is more to what they have been trained to do. Sometimes doing the needful, as Iskan likes to put it, doing the needful becomes necessary. Doing the needful means there's service there and somebody has to do it. But for the most part, the leader should engage people according to the things that they can do best, because it's easier when they know what to do, and from even from a material standpoint, and they know that they're doing it to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees. Arjuna, for example, he didn't just start fighting. Arjuna got trained in how to fight by Dronacharya before he fought. All the Pandavas got trained. Therefore, training is important. And then, from the training, the propensities have been established, and then they can do service based on that. Now, number nine, leaders are experts at delegation and empowerment. Now, delegation and empowerment go together. Sometimes leaders delegate, but they don't empower. In other words, they say, do this, but do this based on what I want you to do. It is most exciting to devotees when they get asked to do a group of devotees get asked to do a particular project, and the leader gives them the power to deal with the details of it, so that the devotees' minds would then go to work on it, and they will discuss things and then come up with how they're going to go about it. This is what pleases most devotees when they get delegated and empowered to do it. So delegation should also come with empowerment, not just do this, do that, do that, and the leader does all the thinking and everybody else is just, you know, basically doing it without any thinking because it comes from the top and you do it this way. Devotees are also intelligent. They also can figure out things. Therefore, when they get empowered, then the project becomes more interesting to them. So, and the final thing is what we mentioned earlier. They are servant leaders. They always consider themselves serving the devotees. That's why we call ourselves Das and Dasi. So we shouldn't claim proprietorship, because everything that we have, God gave to us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a song, Manasa Deho Geho. Jo Kichu Mo, Manasa Deho Geho, Jo Kichu Mo. Srila Prabhupada has been talked about that. He's teaching the process of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is teaching the process of full surrender. Manasa Deho. So Manasa is a mind, because the mind is the origin of all kinds of speculation. And so when we surrender the mind, rendering devotional service, then we are in the right consciousness. So first, controlling the mind. Controlling the mind means surrender the mind to Krishna. So Deha, the body. The body means the senses, because the senses control, I work with the body. Senses, what the body uses. So we surrender the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, then automatically the senses, which are connected with the mind, they also become surrendered. Then Geho, the home. We should make our home like the temple of the Lord. You have a deity in the house, and your consciousness is the deity is the owner of the house, of the home. We do everything, and he is overseeing everything, and we are servants. That is the consciousness of our household, the way we should run it too. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm surrendering my mind, my body, and my home unto you. Either I'm in happiness, either I'm in distress, or in a living condition, or even when I'm dying, everything is for you. And when we think that way, then we get relieved. When we surrender everything to Krishna, then we get relieved. So that is the secret, that rather than think that we control, we actually serve. Even when we're leaders, we should be servant leaders. So we'll stop here. I'm going to read both 32.5 and 32.6, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Text 5 and 6. So Text 5, translation, those who are intelligent and are of purified consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Since they are freed from the modes of material nature, they do not ask for sense gratification. Rather, they are situated in their own occupational duties. And since they are situated there, they act as they expected to act. And the next text is, by executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment, and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness, and by thus executing the so-called material duties, he can enter easily into the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. So, we can now unmute our phones, and thank you for tolerating me. We can ask questions or make comments as we deem necessary. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
My Pranam to you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai.
Yeah,
thank you for the wonderful class. You read the whole thing, and we were discussing in connection to this in the previous verses also. So it got added to our knowledge. Prabhuji, you mentioned one point about the schools thing. This is such a wonderful thing. Because I know that both my daughters passed out from the public school, and it was very difficult time to go through, because the thing is that they were already in the school, middle school, and that time I came into Krishna consciousness. So it was actually quite bewildering, because it was a struggle to make them vegetarian. It was a struggle to in a sense they were left in the middle somewhere, where they're seeing that these are Krishna conscious practices, and completely contrary things were going on, to the extent that even even the college level, sometimes the children question that they say beef is the best form of protein, but here we are taught that cows are mother and we should not eat cow's flesh and things like that. So this is so essential, and when you mention about the email, I really need to understand, you said, I like you to note that once again, something about Krishna 108.
Okay.
Yeah. How does it go about by sending an email, and what do we write?
Okay.
In that email.
What I'm doing is inviting anyone, you know, putting this out. 108 schools, 108 senior devotee centers, I call them SDCs, senior devotee centers, and 54 hospices. I'm left it totally up to Krishna how this is going to be going to manifest, but the first thing is to put it out so that it's in devotees' minds that this needs to get done. And but the email, I just had a Gmail account. I just said, because it's 108 schools, 108, you know, senior devotee centers, I said Krishna Project 108 as one word at gmail.com. So if basically you can just send an email for any ideas that you want to put, you know, in order for us to get this going, whatever ideas you have, and if you want to lend your own expertise to in any of these areas, say I'm a teacher, I'm this, I'm that, you know, whatever, or I know these people who know about construction or blueprint, you know, all of that's needed. I know some people, I'm already talking to some people, and using everything in my own background that Krishna has given me to get this going. I have some things, marketing, of course, we obviously, funds are going to have to be raised for this, because we have to, you know, have funds to run a school, we have to have things, and basically thinking and praying about that. Krishna is opening some doors already. I have a friend who, out of the blue, I just sent him a Christmas wish, and he responded to me, and he's a multi-millionaire, believe it or not. Multi-millionaire, and he says there was a project that I was trying to do, and now he's willing to work with me. And I'm like, just when I said that this Krishna project went away, let's try to do this. Krishna has turned this guy's mind, and you know, he manages money for the Middle East, the princes, the old people who are rolling in wealth. He's actually the one of the people that manages money for him. So you can imagine how much they give him, because they have so much money they don't know what to do with it. And he says that he wants to help. So I'm going to try to get him involved in the Krishna Project also. So doors are opening. I've met somebody who's also coming to our life who was a nurse. Of course, we need hospice situation. We need a nurse. So that person has already, you know, thrown a hat in. Someone who knows accounting. He lives in New Vrindavan. She says she's going to do it. So all of these people, they know or they will know about that particular email, KrishnaProject108@gmail.com. And basically all I'm doing is to tell some of your own devotees that you know that are experts in different areas that will connect with schools or centers, which means construction, and also the management of it, and hospices, which means the medical people. Tell them to write to this particular email, so we can, and we'll do it around the world. Everywhere I go and I preach, I bring this up now. Since now it has form, you know, first we just talked about it. Now form means we have a number of schools, we have a number of senior devotee centers, we have a number of hospices, so now we can shoot for it. Even the places where they have to be constructed, that's also another situation. It's all around the world, but they have to be particular places. How many of them should be in India? How many of them should be in some of the other continents? And so all of these are discussions. So this is time where we're going through discussions about it. And so you should use the email as a forum for discussions around the world. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I was thinking that, you know, such a wonderful idea. You know, there should be some website also along with it, connected to it.
Absolutely.
Krishna Project 108.
Yeah.
So that way, all the things like schools and hospitals that you mentioned about should be there.
Yeah.
So that way, because people want to get information what it is about.
Yes, I would.
Like, now you are speaking to us, because mm-hmm. it's a conference call,
mm-hmm.
and but you know, just to reach out to more people, and it's really a wonderful idea. Probably if you came up with these ideas, like all glories to your ideas, it's so nice, because you know, sometimes we really fear, even families, I know they're young families
mm-hmm.
who are here, and they are they have become devotees in the USA, and now soon they will get married, but they really worry about their children, because you know, say they're not placed in there are certain places like San Jose, Mountain View, they have a school. I don't know if there's a regular school, but at least a temple is there, and then you know, some association is there, but other than that, places where people are not there, there is no temple. no schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just forced to live the American style of way of, you know, public schools and things like that. There's no association. So, and this will make more, I mean, it's really good. And I know in family, they are from Seattle, but they, the wife and the daughter doesn't stay with the husband. They stay at the, this Alachua temple. They have Bhaktivedanta Gurukul there. So, husband and wife separately, they only meet on holidays because there's a daughter who's studying, and they don't have anything in Seattle. So, you know, she's from here, and husband and wife are staying separate for the daughter who's in middle school. And she's studying, you know, like that. So, some of the young couples are very, very, worried that when we have children, and we don't want to put them in public school, so how it's going to be? I mean, should we go to India? And, you know, this kind of a thing will really solve a lot of the problems.
Yeah, so it's very much needed.
The website I need, and we can, or at least everyone can, because people have the money out there. They can use in, so much security they can get by using it here.
Yeah.
So I just went on and on. I really got excited about it. I just wondered that, you know, for even for our future, I would say grandchildren, which will be born, you know, be good for them. And there'll be something we leave for them which is connected to Krishna.
Oh, yeah. So, people who hear it are very excited about this. Okay. Now, website, I know a devotee in Baltimore. I'll talk to him. He's actually helping in so many ways, and he's an IT guy, and he can set up a website. He actually helped so that now, even my lectures, and I record my lectures are now going to ISKCON Desire Tree. So I am on ISKCON Desire Tree as of about a week and a half ago. So now lectures are going there. This one will go there. And other lectures that I gave earlier in different parts are going to go on ISKCON Desire Tree. So he's helping with my service in that way. But he definitely can put on a website too. So Krishna Project, we'll have to decide. I don't think we should take .com, but we'll see. KrishnaProject108.org probably will be a good one. But I'll leave him to go about the details. So yeah, there will be a website. Just saying, and then the email will be there too. But the email is easier, so I set that one myself. Than using that. But yeah, I'll talk to people to have a website put up. And next time when I come on here, I'll let you know. Every time I'll update what's going on. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much,
Prabhuji.
Just I hope this ideas flourish,
Oh yeah.
And, just thinking how to add on to it. Share with us,
Samuji,
next time anything, I noted the email.
Absolutely.
So this will be really helpful for the families and for, future generations.
Absolutely. Okay, I will do that. Okay, Hare Krishna. So any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
So you said that Krishna keeps a track of a devotee's devotional service or deeds and things like that, and nobody else does it. I was wondering that does Yamraj, his job is to also keep track of one's karma?
Yes.
Can you please shed some light on that?
Okay, now this is from two sources. This is when I mentioned that Radha Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, meaning there were two lectures that I heard this, that when one becomes a devotee, that account, spiritual account is transferred to the Lord. Those who are not devotees, Yamaraj keeps count of their activities, because that's based on karma, whatever reaction they get from whatever they do. Pious means they go to heavenly planets. Impious, depending on the level of problems, they may come back to this earth or a medium planet, or go to the lower planets, the hellish planets. That's all planned by Yamaraj. But Srila Prabhupada said that when the person becomes a devotee, that spiritual account is taken care of by Krishna personally. And I'm quoting Srila Prabhupada, he says, Krishna personally. Then I heard later on Radha Maharaj making a point that the accounts for devotees are kept by the Lord as Paramatma in the heart, the Lord in the heart. Okay. And of course, Paramatma is Krishna. So it's the same thing. Srila Prabhupada said, and Radha Maharaj said. This is how much the devotee is fortunate if the person turns to Krishna. When we turn towards Krishna, even Yamaraj doesn't take account of our activities anymore. He doesn't have that account anymore. So this is, it's nice to know that it's actually Krishna himself that's doing this. Because then what happens is we will go through happiness and distress, material happiness and distress, they'll be there, we're in the material world, that's not going to go away. But we find out, many, many people who take the process seriously, the sadhana seriously, they'll find out that everything that happens that seems to be distressful, there's a lesson to be learned from it. There's some growth. There's some growth. Growth, you know, is something in America called growing pains, so that's there. There's some growth that will happen from it. Everything that happens that seems to be controversial, there is some growth that all devotees gain from it, or the person that was in the middle of it also benefits from it one way or the other to improve their own spiritual life. And spirituality is about Krishna. Therefore, Krishna takes care of the accounts for devotees. For devotees. Others, that's Yamaraj's job. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, there. So another person, Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna? Jai. Yeah,
yes.
Like, our life is, like, somewhat, or what I understood, that controlled by that
external reaction,
nakshatra vidya. Astrology, like I don't know, the star is how to say this.
Yeah, astrology.
How does it impact our life?
How does it impact our lives?
Impacting the life. Sometimes we say that what is the karma can take that decide the destiny. Other is that that based on that time that you say, it's like your Rahu Ketu. These can change this your direction of the life. Maybe because of trouble, these are not in correct position. So, time it comes, then it will change, and you be in the right position. But due to certain time factor, these may be impacting your life. And because of that, getting in trouble. So, how this coordinated with this happiness, pain, distress.
Okay. When a person becomes a devotee, their lives is not based on karma. Therefore, even the alignment of the planets don't influence a person's life so much. When a person becomes a devotee, their account is transferred to the Paramatma, and now things that happen are not based on karma. In other words, Paramatma may allow things, and it does, allow things, whatever the devotee wants to do, it's facilitated. And even if non-devotee wants to do, it's also facilitated by the Lord in the heart, because the Lord is in the heart of everybody, devotee and non-devotee. But still, because the devotee is connected by the mercy of the Parampara to the system, the royal path of devotion, then the activities are all based on Krishna consciousness, directly or indirectly. Therefore, Krishna now leads the person's life based on Krishna consciousness. And that's when the Krishna consciousness service becomes more important. And the only time that some things that may have been known by a person's astrology or something is there, that takes effect, the only time it takes effect is because that particular thing helps the devotee in Krishna consciousness. In other words, whatever helps the devotee in the person's so-called karma would come into play because of bhakti, not because the person is strictly, you know, living out the karma from the previous life. That doesn't happen anymore. So some things may, as we say in math, it may intersect, it may be part of what should have been the karma. So let's just put it simply this way. So Say a person was destined to be rich, good karma, destined to be rich, and then a non-devotee, now they become a devotee. They may be rich because now they need the money to do services for Krishna. So then Krishna allows the wealth to come, and sometimes even greater than the karma said that they would get. You gave him more money or more facility because that person is 100% determined to use that for Krishna service. But karma also said that they were going to be wealthy. So that's an intersecting point now. The person has become a devotee and wants to use money to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but by their karma they're also supposed to be wealthy. So then both things are consistent because the person is using it for Krishna service. Now take another person who becomes a devotee, they are, by karmic arrangement, they're supposed to be wealthy. But they're not thinking of using that money for Krishna consciousness, and in fact, if they become wealthy, they will get in the sense gratification. In that case, the whole karma thing is going to be struck down, and that person is not going to be wealthy, even though karmically they were supposed to be wealthy. Krishna will cut it off. Because if he knows that this person becomes wealthy according to karma, he's not going to go back to Godhead. He's going to get into sense gratification. So why give that person sense gratification? So that they will fail spiritually. So Krishna will just cut it off. So that's how it works. So devotees are not directly under karma, only as needed, the details of what's supposed to happen in the person's life. Only as needed. Only as needed means if it helps their Krishna consciousness, then it happens. Otherwise, Krishna doesn't allow it to happen. Hare Krishna. So that's how that works.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. There. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
So, what about I understand, Prabhuji, that you answer the question like money, right?
Yeah.
What about the sometimes, you know, people feel that this star is them, they are controlling somebody's health, and somebody is making mistakes, and somebody is, you know, sometimes they have good health and things like that. I think they say that you're going to have some disease or something coming up. So how in a devotee's life that there is so much disease and things like that coming in?
There is a lot. This is a very loaded question, especially if we're going to talk about disease. There are so many things that happen. In many ways that Krishna actually uses disease, believe it or not. Literally uses disease. And I've seen enough examples to actually even put it this way, because that's a very bold way to say that Krishna is actually using disease in certain ways. But in the Shastra, it's there. In the Shastra, it's there. Sanatana Goswami got very sick. His skin got very, very, very bad. And he was just going to throw himself under the Jagannath cart and die because he thought that, you know, he wasn't going to... going to be able to serve the way he looked. People would even stay away from him. But Lord Chaitanya said, called him a thief. He says, you are a thief because you're trying to take something that belongs to me. Your body belongs to me. And of course he embraced him. Sanatana Goswami was very embarrassed when the Lord embraced him. But then when he embraced him, all the boils and all the pus and everything went away. This is one, of course, that's in Shastra in the disease condition. Now, generally, everything that we go through here that sounds materially difficult for us, there are some lessons that we have learned from it. Some people go through sickness or even handling a child that is very sick because there are some lessons that they have to learn from it. Sometimes a lesson of patience, sometimes a lesson of being more sensitive to other people who may also be in a difficult situation, because you can understand them better because your own situation is a difficult one. So, and sometimes a person who is quite transcendental but sick can in fact let people realize that sickness should never stop anybody from serving and being enthusiastic about bhakti yoga. So that can also be used that way. Okay. Again, if there materially is a reason with position of the stars or whatever, so that according to some of this karma, sickness was supposed to come, but then the person becomes a devotee, and Krishna may or may not remove the sickness, but let's just say in this case Krishna does not remove the sickness. Some of the examples I gave are ways in which the person can in fact use sickness to their advantage, to even preach about a person's consciousness, you know, in that situation. Now, there are other situations too, that, and those ones, we don't talk about it very much, but I'm going to bring it up here since you talk about sickness. Sometimes, there are situations where a devotee in their lives, they have served so nicely. They have served in many ways, but they are not pure, as that's the overwhelming majority of devotees in this kind of not pure. So, but a person has served so well that even devotees, just seeing the person's service, will say, this person, when they die, they're going to go back to Godhead, because there's so much that they've done. And there are people like that. But then, before that particular devotee leaves the body, they may be sick for 1 year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years. The body may disturb them for a long time. Discomfort. Now, people who advance like that, usually they don't let the sickness stop them. They will still keep chanting their rounds. They will still do. They will be obviously limited in how much they can do because the body is not functioning properly. But more often than not, and I was told this, when that person who served very well but is not pure, the transcendental system wants that person to go back to Goloka Vrindavan after they die. But because they're not pure, there are some things that they've done that's negative, that's going to have to be paid for in order to free the person to actually qualify to go back to Godhead. And more often than not, Krishna uses sickness for that. And so the person will go through discomfort for a period of time as atonement for those things that they weren't quite pure, that those things that blocked total purity. In other words, some of the anathas and so on. They go through that, and then right after that, then they go back, and more and often than not, you hear from the sannyasis, those who are connected in the spiritual world, they'll tell you, this person made it back to the spiritual world. So sometimes sickness is used like that as a way of atoning to some extent the things that a devotee has done so nicely, but and done so nicely that he's actually, you look at him and says, this person is going to get the mercy and go back, but there are faults. There are some faults in the faults there, and somebody has to pay for it. So then that person goes through sickness as a way of atonement before they go back to Godhead. So that's also used in that way. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up that question, because I know for a fact some people did get sick for that reason and they still made it back to Godhead. Because they were doing atonement, actually. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Shyama Srikant Mataji, you can jump in at any time. The end. Unless more questions are there. But just to add one more thing, definitely there will be a website up. I'm going to beg this devotee to put the website together for the Krishna Project one away. It's important. Oh, my kids know how to do it too, but I'll go to him first. First comes to show, my first daughter can put a website together. So there will be a website one way or the other for Krishna Project 108. Any other comments?
Yes, thank you, sir. We wait for that because I was thinking that we are connected to different groups of WhatsApp. We can share the email.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether whatever I heard today, I'll be able to put it, regarding schools, the details. If there's a website that gets rolling, then what will happen is it will really spread like anything.
Oh, yeah, I will.
And everybody will get really happy with this idea.
Yeah.
Which will help the future generations regarding schoolings. And,
absolutely.
We can promote Srila Prabhupada's books and so much. I mean, it can be used as a means for, making more people Krishna conscious.
Absolutely.
And moving towards Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
So, it's really good, Prabhupada.
There's a lot. There's the details. I'll share some of them on as soon as we get a website. Then it's gonna go on Facebook. Then I'm gonna boost it, and then of course the e-journals, the Dandavad and all that, they will all hear about it and put it out. So that's when we'll push the advertising more. Website first. Right now, I'm just using email. Anybody can just write to the email whatever suggestions. Some of it you're saying here. Obviously, I'm recording it, so whatever you say is going to be recorded out here when I play it back. But, yes, I'm extremely excited about this. In fact, anyway, I want to say too much, but there's a lot of plans, my own personal plans, and those, you know, as they connect, people who background connect with some of the things that I want to do, I'll also let them know about it. But there's a big plan, a lot of plans. There's even movies in this. Making a movie, so many things that we're planning to, because we're thinking in terms of raising quite a bit of Lakshmi. I can talk about the figures, but we'll do that later on in terms of, you know, how much we think that should be, you know, set as the goal to reach to get started. But as I said already, there's a multimillionaire that's already connected with me, and by Christmas, I'm praying that, you know, he sees some of the things that I'm talking about. Always for these kind of people, and he's coming. He's my high school mate. He's the third richest person in Ghana at this point, and he called me. I didn't even contact him. He called me and wanted to do stuff with me. And again, it's only when I've talked about Krishna Project that this happened. So Krishna's obviously hearing and is making arrangements. Hare Krishna.
When we hear that Srila Prabhupada came here and opened 108
temples, yeah.
Is it
just
to temples all over the world?
Refer
to USA.
Say that again. Are you talking about? Say that again. So just repeat the question.
We heard so much about the fact that Srila Prabhupada came here, mm-hmm. and opened 108 temples. So, mm-hmm. Like, you just. One question was coming to me because you said Krishna Project 108, mm-hmm. and I was flashing back to a very, very basic question where I have heard that Srila Prabhupada opened 108 temples. So that 108 figure is attached to Srila Prabhupada. Is it all over the world he opened?
Yeah, there are temples all over the world, 108 temples all over the world. And in fact, it's interesting you asked this question, because it was because Srila Prabhupada opened 108 temples around the world that the thought also came to me about 108 schools, and 108, the same number, because of his own, you know, when he was born, this was predicted that he would open 108 temples. It's exactly from Srila Prabhupada's temple.
I kind of thought the same lines, and I'm thinking that I'm sure the figure has gone beyond 108 now. You know, so many other temples are constructed after Srila Prabhupada left.
Yes.
So this has to keep on going, and I really like that point today that Prabhupada said half the work is done. So
yeah.
Half he's left on, you know, all of us take care. So, I mean, we have to follow our, you know, he's our Jagat Guru, our main Shiksha Guru, you know, to follow his orders. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Looking forward for more information
about it,
and,
yeah.
Then we can share with others as soon as possible.
Yes. So Hare Krishna. So the email is Krishna, spelled any way you like, KrishnaProject108@gmail.com. You get other ideas, please bring it and share that email with others while we work on getting a website up also. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I guess we can stop here now, unless there are more questions. Hare Krishna, Jai. Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Guru Vrishya, Kripa Srinivya Evacha, Dhanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. Jai. Jai.